on 1116 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki.
27 past nine, George Zadekian joining me in the studio as well as we look at the ultimate wrap of what's happened so far on the weekend.
I love when you do that.
It's
a little American back in there. A little American slang dropping in, trying to confuse Josh, are you?
Very much. We'll get to Josh in just one sec. First of all, though, the Melbourne Rebels Rugby Union have had a 9-all draw with the Sharks. An ugly, tireless Super Rugby match in Durban.
The Rebels still in the competition?
Yeah, they're still in the competition, drawing at least anyway. Okay, so let's talk some NRL though. Josh Masood, Channel 7 NRL, joins us on the line. G'day, Josh.
As long as he mentions the Dragons are on top of the competition, Josh, welcome, buddy.
Hey guys, how's things? It's like I didn't watch that Super Rugby game. I might have woken up.
I don't know if you might have.
Put anyone into a deep sleep.
No, mate. If you wanted to stay awake, you needed to watch Spurs lose to Chelsea.
Oh, God, yeah.
Slap around the face.
I'm a Spurs boy and I suffered. It was a great game.
George mentioned the Dragons. They don't play until Tuesday. Come up against the Roosters, but they are top of the ladder and looking pretty good at the moment.
Yeah, a real surprise package. No one would have picked them to win six from their first seven. They're favoured to probably compete for the spoon along with Newcastle, but they defied every expectation just on the back of just some really simple play. Their strength is no doubt their forwards, and they just play it simple up the middle. Everyone's got a job similar to what the Melbourne Storm do, and some more great news for St George Illawarra fans even ahead of their big Anzac Day clash against the Roosters. They've retained Gareth Widdop, who, of course, was sort of bred in Melbourne under that system and joined the Dragons. And I can tell you the Storm were very, very interested in getting him back to replace Cooper Cronk.
Wow.
George had to really up their money. They had to up it by probably about 150 a season and add an extra year. So Gareth Widdop could put a few extra stories on his mansion there in Wollongong getting his deal. But big news for the Dragons, and they're in great shape.
Josh, I've got to say, it's no surprise that the strength of St George's, the forwards, that's how they won 11 premierships.
Yeah, it's a nice...
Yeah, they've gone back to the old formula.
Old enough to remember. Those were back in the days, though, where you had unlimited tackles.
Yeah.
And so they would just hold the ball and just pound teams into submission. A little different these days, but I think a lot of coaches try to get a bit too cute with their structures and their block plays in rugby league. At the end of the day, it's a simple game. You overpower your opposition. It's one in the middle, and you retain possession. You generally win. St George don't have the class in the halves, although Widdop is playing very well. His halves partner, Josh McCrone, I've got to say, with respect to him, he'd probably be struggling to make the top 17 in most other clubs, so they're making do with what they've got.
Josh, NRL boss Tony, NRL referee boss Tony Archer's come out and admitted that his referees have made a mistake in awarding a controversial one-point win to the Broncos in regards to a try for Tau Tau Moga. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so what was happening, South had fought back very bravely to take a 24-18 lead late in the second half against the Broncos. Looked like they were going to claim a valuable win. And Anthony Milford, who's Brisbane star player, went over the line, looked as though he was held up. And somehow the ball came loose and Tau Tau Moga grabbed it and scored what turned out to be the match-equaling try. It went to the bunker and it was determined that it was
not the bunker.
I know. No one gets it at all. But it determined it was a try, but Archer's come out and said that Anthony Milford should have been called held, the ball should never have been able to get loose from the tackle, and that try should never have ensued. So this is a bit of a different one for the NRL to actually stick up their hands and admit some culpability. They did all sorts of backflips and contortions last year to try and get out of things that were pretty obviously wrong. So look, they get it wrong. It's horrible when it happens in these circumstances and basically costs the team two competition points like it has South Sydney, but look, you can go back through any game and point out errors from players that have probably cost their team the game as well. We're going to have these mistakes. The least the NRL can do is admit them.
The Shire was celebrating last year, of course. Are they in commiserations this year at the moment?
Yeah, well, it's been going great for them over the past 4 weeks. Melbourneites will remember the 2 weeks ago they went down to Melbourne and created history. No team has kept the Melbourne Storm tryless in Melbourne in history. 20 years, and they did it with an 11-2 win. They backed it up with a great win over Penrith last week. So they'd gone two games keeping teams tryless, two of the real hot shots in the NRL tryless.
It's not easy to do.
The Gold Coast Titans, who are running equal last on their home ground, and lose. And that's just the unpredictability of the NRL. Last night that happened. It was no oil painting this game. 16-12 to the Titans. They got it done late with a try in the final 4 minutes. They had three players injured as well, so a great gutsy win for Neil Henry's men. And a bit of justice for them. They've had a lot of tough losses to swallow. Jarryd Hayne, interestingly, back as well. Isn't it funny how well he plays with Origin just a month away?
Very, very much so. And I think he also won a medal last night, didn't he?
Yeah, they give out an Anzac medal for each of the man of the matches in each of the 8 games of the round. So, yeah, guys, you can sort of almost set your watch by it. I watched Jarryd Hayne with great frustration for Parramatta when he was there. Mm. He'd play so well around these big games and then go missing in the early part of the season, the late part of the season when they couldn't make the finals. I'm tipping him to go on a massive run of form, because if the Origin team were picked tomorrow, he wouldn't be in it. But if he plays 4 or 5 big games leading up to that team selection in late May, he's going to be very, very hard to hold out.
Just very quickly, mate, before we let you go, big game for the Storm coming up, Anzac Day as always against the Warriors. Bit of a preview on that?
Yeah, it always is. The Warriors have sprung a few upsets down in Melbourne. They get up for this game, but I can't see it happening this time, particularly on the back of that really disappointing loss for the Storm a couple of weeks ago, and then a disappointing performance against Manly. Yeah, they won 30-26, but you saw Craig Bellamy and Cameron Smith. They weren't happy at all. So back at home, big game for the Storm. I'm tipping they'll win. And Kieran Foran, a lot about his future. That's going to be a distraction for the Warriors too. He's walked out on them after just being there for 6 months to join Canterbury next year. And I can tell you, boys, his hamstrings are not totally right. So without a fully firing Kieran Foran, Warriors, no chance.
We still don't understand that in AFL world, how players can just go halfway through the year and say, that's it, I'm going to be with someone else next year. It's just beyond us.
But it's honest. Like, I mean,
yeah, it is.
It does happen in AFL. These deals are done behind closed doors and everyone denies them. And then when the time is right, they all confirm the worst kept secrets in the game. Rugby league used to have that system. You used to not be able to announce these things until July 1. It'd be speculation for months and months and months. And then on July 1, 6 of them would be announced. They weren't done overnight.
Yeah.
So,
Josh, what you do is you undermine effectively the most important ingredient in all sport. That is the participation and the investment of every fan.
How
am I supposed to build a faith and a support base if every 5 minutes the players on their professional whim, advancing their careers, keep moving and shifting?
But it's happening. It'll happen anyway, no matter where you put the deadline. People are going to negotiate. Clubs are competitive. And I think the other thing that's throwing fuel onto the fire this year, the Rugby League CBA, the 5-year cycle, the television rights is up. So a lot of players time the end of their contract for that, wanting to get a bigger piece of the pie for their first year of their next contract. So all the star players are up for grabs this year. And I could, guys, if we had enough time, I could explain to you what the media cycle is like in rugby league as well, whereby there's such strict controls over getting stories, positive stories on players, that the only space for a journalist like myself to look into if I want to break some fair income news is the player market.
Yeah.
That all fuels it. That's why there's so much news about it.
We'll talk about that another time. Josh, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, boys. Cheers.